So that's what's happening in the news today. Now to Insight, which tonight is pre-recorded and an abbreviated edition, so unfortunately we will not be taking your calls. Well, the Omicron variant of the coronavirus appears to be spreading like wildfire, but with apparently less lethal force than other variants. Still, COVID-19 continues to affect every facet of our everyday lives. And as we head into the new year, what should we be readying ourselves to deal with regarding COVID-19 in 2020? Here to answer our questions and provide expert guidance is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of Blacks Against COVID-19. Dr. Tuckson, thank you so much for being with us.
Great, thank you.
Dr. Tuckson, let's sort of jump right into this. Let's start with the CDC and the changes that have now come about, saying that instead of isolating for 10 days, if you're positive, now that isolation is 5 days. What do you think of that, and why do you believe the CDC has made those changes in cutting the isolation time in half?
There are a couple of factors, I think, for why they made that decision. First, is that there is data that helps them in making that indicates that we now know that the majority of the transmission is occurring earlier in the course of the illness, mainly 1 to 2 days before symptoms and 2 to 3 days after. So that shortening of the narrow of window is a part of their observation. The second reason is simply because the concern is that so many people are getting ill and are being or exposed that they are off the line when it comes to critical job vacancies, critical tasks that the society needs to get done. And I think that they were bowing a little bit to the sense that people really needed, if possible, to get back to work as quickly as possible. And then I'm sure probably there may have been some politics involved. I don't know for sure. At the end of the day, I think that a lot of us are concerned that the guidance is a little looser than we would have wanted. And we're just simply going to urge people to be a little more vigilant, perhaps, than the CDC, extra precaution. The one other important factor that many people may have missed is that there is a difference in the guidance for people who have received their boosters and those who have either not been vaccinated or only vaccinated with two doses for the two-dose regimen or one dose for the single-dose regimen. And so that difference is that if you are exposed to a person with COVID, then you are to quarantine for 5 days and strict mask use for 5 days. If you are boosted, you do not need to quarantine following that exposure, but you should, of course, still wear your mask. So I would really want to emphasize to people yet another reason why you want to be boosted as quickly as possible.
And speaking of boosters, Dr. Tuckson, information has come out that with that third shot, still within the Black community, those numbers are lower than the broader community. One, would you agree with those statistics that are coming out showing that? And if you do, why this continuation of these numbers not being where I assume you believe they should be for any vaccinations for COVID, but especially now when we're talking about the booster shot?
The data did show us that for getting the initial round of two doses, we in the Black community were way behind, but caught up pretty rapidly. And now we're seeing in the Black community, even our experience with boosters is pretty much catching up and normalizing with the majority of other Americans. So that's good. What is underneath your question, though, is a very important observation. And that is that when any of these federal programs are structured around internet-based, online registration, and those kinds of things, we're always going to be having difficulties because of uneven access to the internet and computer technologies. When you are using community-based and faith-based organizations to push forward on immunization, then we do a lot better. And so my hope is that we will continue to have a robust support for Black community infrastructure to make vaccines easily available to them, so that when we do these community drives, we will get good response and really cover a lot of people. So I think bottom line is we have got to keep pushing the federal government to provide the resources, not just the boost of vaccines themselves, but the money that it takes to stand up a robust community infrastructure that will serve us well, not only for COVID, but also for what happens after COVID when we get back to focusing in on all of the other pre-existing health challenges after we get done with this crisis.
Dr. Tuckson, talk a little bit about the booster shot. I know we've talked about it before, but as the numbers of folks who are getting vaccinated rises, then the next step obviously is the booster shot. And Dr. Fauci was even talking about a fourth shot today. But talk a little bit more about the booster shot and what you see as the importance of getting that shot.
This is a very important question. What we have learned about the Omicron variant is that it has the ability to escape from much of our pre-existing antibody protection. Whether we got those antibody protections from previous exposure to COVID, or even with our two-dose or single-dose regimen of vaccinations, that we need the extra firepower of the booster to overcome what the Omicron variant is bringing. And so it is very key that we understand that the boosters are very, very effective against protecting us from getting sick, significantly ill, or hospitalized or dying from Omicron. And that's why we're pushing so hard for the booster on top of the already vaccines that we received. It is unfortunate that we have not been able to stamp out this pandemic around the world or in the United States. As a result of not having stamped it out, variants like Omicron have emerged. And therefore, we see that this particular variant requires extra firepower through a booster dose if we're going to be maximally effective in preventing really bad outcomes for people.
And to be clear, and I think the operative word, as you said, bad outcomes, to be clear for our listeners, in the same way of just because you've got both of your vaccination shots and you've gotten your booster shots, that does not mean that you still cannot get a coronavirus, correct?
This is a key issue, because I think a lot of people confuse what the role of the vaccine is in this disease. What we are hoping for and praying for and have actually achieved is to see vaccines that can keep people from having serious illness, hospitalizations, and death. It is not unexpected that there may be people who will have breakthrough infections and become somewhat ill with flu-like symptoms and so forth, but not moving so far down the road to being hospitalized or dying. We are very clear in what we are seeing around the country that people who are unvaccinated are the ones who are clogging up now the hospitals, who are unable to breathe on ventilators in ICUs. People who are boosted are not having that experience in anywhere near the level of what people who are unvaccinated are. So you're absolutely right that what we need to focus on is what do we want the vaccines to do? And they are very effective in keeping us from getting significantly ill and dying compared to those who are not vaccinated.
Do you believe, Dr. Tuckson, that there will eventually be a fourth shot required or suggested?
Unfortunately, we are seeing this continuing evolution of the virus. As you know, it's like a bonfire. And if you have fuel, if you have wood around, the bonfire will continue to grow. We have not been eliminating enough of the wood. And so the virus is hanging around now for its second year. And when it hangs around, it has the ability to change, to mutate. What we cannot predict is what that mutation next will be. Not all mutations are bad. Sometimes mutations can cause it to be less transmissible or less virulent, causing you to be less ill. Sometimes it can, one or the other may occur. So I'm not in a position today to suggest that we will need a fourth shot. I think we'll just have to see what plays. I know this. Much of the future of whatever we will need still lies in our own hands. If we can get people to do what we know we need them to do, which is now to get vaccinated and now get boosted, to wear our masks, to practice physical distancing, to not converge in groups, in small rooms, and enclosed spaces. If we can get people, and of course, obviously to wash our hands regularly, if we can get people to do those things and also continue to maintain their overall healthiness by eating properly, getting plenty of sleep, being very, you know, making sure that we get our exercise in, all the things to enhance our overall healthiness. If we can do all those things, we have a chance to put this thing to rest. The future is in our hands. Unfortunately, we have experienced far too many people in this country and around the world who simply are unwilling to do the simple things necessary to bring this to closure. So I got my fingers crossed, but I can't predict what will happen in the months to come.
Dr. Tuckson, let's talk a little bit about the little people, children. What we're seeing now with the Omicron variant in terms of kids, you're seeing here locally as schools are pushing back start times coming out of the winter break, whether that's on the college level here at Howard University, that's happening. It's happening in Prince George's County, Maryland, Northern Virginia. So all across our region, we're seeing a cautious approach in terms of bringing kids back into schools. But just even beyond that, what are you seeing in terms of the variant and younger folks today?
One of the sad elements of this current Omicron experience has been the fact that we're seeing a significant increase in the number of our children being hospitalized. This is a bad sign and one that is distressing. We clearly, as you've indicated, we know that we want kids back in school. Everybody wants to make sure that kids are back in school. But with the extreme ease with which the Omicron variant is able to spread and cause havoc, given that the number of our workforce, teachers, administrative people, the bus drivers, the wonderful men and women who keep our schools clean through custodial services, all of them are going to experience very likely increasing cases of COVID in the days and weeks to come, so that the workforce might not be there. Then you've got to worry about how we get our kids back and forth to school. I am hopeful that adults will start to take our children's vulnerability and fragility a little more to heart and respect a lot more. We've got to get our kids over five who are eligible to immunize to get immunized. That is key. And the key for getting kids immunized is for their parents to be immunized. There's a direct relationship between parents being vaccinated and kids being vaccinated. And the second thing we have to do is to stop letting people walk into our homes where our children, particularly those under five who are completely naked to protection from vaccines, letting strangers walk into our houses without masks on, spending time spreading Omicron inside of our homes to infect our kids. And we also have to be much more careful about where our kids spend their time and who they spend their time with. This is a very dangerous time for children. Parents have a moral responsibility to step up to the plate And what we are not seeing enough of is parents accepting the mature responsibilities that come with being a parent.
That's just so well said, because as you mentioned, you know, these young folks, whereas teenagers or, you know, even younger than that, they're, you know, going over homes and you don't know, you know, if the family there is wearing a mask. And to your point, you really have to ask those questions, not like the old days where kids just kind of played and went and did their own thing. And as long as you knew they were somewhere safe, you were good. Dr. Tuckton, let me ask you this. We're seeing just this rapid increase really now in these take-home kits where you can self-test. President Biden had saying that by the first of the year, he hopes to have 500 million more of those kits delivered out to Americans free of charge. What are your thoughts on these take-home tests? Do you think they're as effective as going to a clinic or going to a area that is providing testing? What are your thoughts here? How should we be thinking about these take-home tests versus going to a site and being tested?
So as your question indicates, there are two different kinds of tests. There's the PCR, or the polymerase chain reaction test, which is a much more sophisticated test that uses our understanding of and advances in genetics to be able to, and genetic technology to be able to very precisely give an opinion or a judgment about whether you have been exposed. And then there are the home tests, the antigen tests. We measure the antigens in the bloodstream and make a decision there. It is true that the home tests are less accurate than the PCR or laboratory-based tests. However, they have a very important role to play. They are not so, the difference in accuracy is not so great as to make them unusable. They are very usable. And I would urge people to take great advantage of them. If I have a criticism of the Biden administration, and I'm not one who likes to spend a lot of time throwing stones and rocks at people, I think we need to find the positives and keep working together, but they were slow off the mark in getting these home tests more widely available. I mentioned earlier that things that have to do, or interventions that have to do with internet-based elements, do not serve the black community well. The plan originally by the administration was to make these tests available through a web-based infrastructure. We prevailed, we at the Black Coalition Against COVID and our many other community-based advocates and partners have immediately prevailed upon the administration to make test kits available also for distribution through community-based infrastructures, church organizations, faith-based, and so forth. And I think that we have gotten their attention, and I know that they are working on that strategy. So I hope that people will get them, work hard even now to try to find some online or in your local pharmacies, but get them and use them. I used them to good effect the other day when we had our Christmas celebration for our family, and we demanded that anyone that came to our celebration administer themselves either a PCR or a home-based test the morning of the evening event. It turns out that one of our members did test positive, and so we had to politely let them understand that they were not invited to the event this year, and that they needed to attend to the consequences of being positive and do the things necessary. So I would say to you that my own behavior is to use them and learn from them and be guided by them.
Dr. Tuckson, we've got about 2 minutes left, and I think you sort of hit part of my last question, and that is, you know, we're just a couple of days away from 2022, and so we make New Year's resolutions. We have new hopes for the new year. We know COVID is not going to go away in the next 3 days. What are your final thoughts as we move into a new year and move into that year with the coronavirus still with us?
I believe that we have to have an undying love for black people. I believe that black lives matter. And if black lives matter, they got to matter to us first. So please, everyone out there, for the New Year's holiday celebration, for New Year's Eve, please don't be going indoors without masks around people you don't know. please be cautious. Please get your booster shot. But above all, going into 2022 now, let us gather together as a family, a community of Black people who care and love each other, who love our children. Let's stop fighting among each other. Let's come together in a principled and dedicated fight toward survival. We've been trying to survive ever since we came to these shores. Let's don't let Omicron and COVID take us out, and don't let our sloppy behavior or our selfish, self-absorbed behavior take us out when we're so close to having a wonderful and beautiful community of life.
He is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of Blacks Against COVID-19. Dr. Tuckson, as always, thank you so much for all of your advice and expertise.
Thank you.
That's the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, December 29th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Up next, the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Have a great night.